Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Good morning to all members of the committee. I also wish to greet the Deputy Minister who is here leading the delegation of the both the Ministry and the Department of Communication and Digital Technologies.
Recording in progress.
Members, I want to take this opportunity to actually officially open the meeting and welcome all of you. And thank you for attendance, and thank the department also for attendance. And I believe that the document which the department will be taking us through has been shared with the members as of yesterday. And that therefore, I think everybody else must have familiarized yourselves with the document, even though it will be taken through. Just to now to look into the issue of the apologies, and I'm going to ask the Secretariat to assist us with that, to confirm the apologies that we have received, and then we can take it from there.
Thank you, Chair. I have two apologies, an apology of Honorable Nana and Honorable Arnold. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Those are the two apologies from Honorable Nana and Honorable Arnold. Thank you very much for informing us. I must also indicate to the committee members that, as we all know, that today is the Cabinet Day. The minister actually did submit a written apology to that effect. But when we do have a deputy minister, then at least that office is represented at a high level. And in fact, I had a discussion with the minister as well yesterday to say that at some point we might have to find a way wherein either we do move our meetings from Wednesday, especially to accommodate her. But she did then say to me, which I think the DM will allude to once he begins the presentation, maybe he will start with that point, that they may consider a rotation, because the DM sometimes is also expected to attend cabinet as well as cabinet committees. But they said they will find a way wherein they can best represent themselves in this committee. Without further ado, at this point, I would like then to, because the only item on the agenda that we have is that of getting the presentation from the department. And therefore, I would like to take this opportunity to invite the Deputy Minister to help us to introduce his team, but also to give us an overview as the political head of the department, and then they can take us through the presentation. DM, I now welcome you on behalf of the members of this committee, and I believe this will be our last meeting for this year, but not for the financial year, but for this particular period, given the fact that we are approaching the festive season, and that therefore we'll be going to our constituency to go and serve and service the communities that always expect us from time to time to come back to them, to renew our mandate, but also to assist in the front line in terms of service delivery and related matters. I therefore wish to give you the platform, DM, to take us through. You will also indicate how much time you require. I don't want to prescribe at this point, so that you can sort of give us a guide as to how long will your presentation suffice. Over to you, DM.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Chairperson, Honorable Chair, and greetings to all the honorable members on the platform. Also acknowledge the officials from the department led by the acting director general. Chair, I thank you for already spoken to the apology of the minister, which I'm not going to repeat that. As you know, Chair, the Wednesdays are very difficult days because cabinet days, it's either it's a cabinet meeting or it's a cabinet committee. As you know, we are all expected to attend cabinet committees as members of the executive, unless if there are exceptional reasons why we shouldn't attend. But we will endeavor as much as we can to make sure that we honor your invitations, as we understand that you sit on Wednesdays. Tuesdays are the best days because there's nothing of cabinet on Tuesday. But otherwise, thank you very much, Chair, and let me take this opportunity to wish yourself and all the members of this select committee the best as we approach the festive season. This is our last meeting with yourself. All of the best, Chairperson, and Merry Christmas in advance, and a Happy New Year. Chair, you've invited us to come and speak about the availability of spectrum and the cost to communicate, and so which is what we will be doing. I'm not going to be long, I'm just going to be brief. The officials will be presenting, taking you through the presentation that you have stipulated to yourself, so they will be spend much more time on that. But just to say, Chair, that as South Africans, we rely daily on mobile telecommunication services to communicate, to work, to study, sometimes to shop online for those who are living in affluent areas. Unfortunately, some of our people, especially those who are living in the rural areas, do not have this luxury of connectivity. They don't have access to communicate due to the high cost to communicate. And so access to connectivity is very essential to all of us as a society. And therefore, the high cost to communicate impedes on that ability, impedes on that right of all South Africans to communicate. And there are two studies that were conducted in the past to respond to this question of the cost to communicate. The first was by the Competitions Commission, which was the Data Services Market Inquiry, and the report was released in 2019. And the second one was by ICASA, which conducted a study on their Mobile Broadband Service Inquiry, which was conducted in March of 2021. Both of these two studies found that there is significant competition concerns in the market, particularly for mobile data services. And therefore, there are recommendations that were made by both of the studies that we as a department are following up in making sure that we are implementing this recommendation. Now, on the one hand, the mobile network operators have attributed the lack of spectrum and the delay in the licensing of this high demand spectrum as a cost for the high data and voice cost, which is leading to the high cost to communicate in the mobile sector. And so this matter has been addressed by ICASA earlier this year, as you know, Chair, in March of this year. ICASA concluded a process of licensing of spectrum through an auction, which was very successful, which has resulted in the fiscus benefiting for over 14 billion of the proceeds of this auction. We know that the main mobile operators benefited from the allocation of this spectrum. MTN, Vodacom, Rain Networks, Telkom, Cell C, and Liquid Intelligent Technologies were the main bidders, and they were allocated various amounts of spectrum, which the team will take us through. But we are also aware, Chair, that the availability of the spectrum to be harvested is dependent on the analog switch off. So we need to conclude the process of switching off of analog so that the country can fully migrate from analog to digital, which is a process that we have undertaken. As you know, that five of the provinces have completely been switched off, which is Northwest, Mpumalanga, Limpopo, Northern Cape. Which one is the fifth province and the Free State? We started with the Free State. So there are four provinces that have not been switched off, which is KZN, Eastern Cape, Gauteng, and the Western Cape. Now we're in the process of doing this migration through the broadcasting digital migration. However, there was a challenge by eMedia, which went to the High Court, and the High Court ruled in our favor. They then approached the Constitutional Court, and that matter was recently concluded, where the Constitutional Court instructed that there has to be more consultation. We must allow more time for the indigents to register so that they can be allocated the set-top boxes. And therefore, the minister then extended the period of all the qualifying households to register, which period has since come and gone. It was the 30th of September. So we believe that we have at least this time around captured all those who are qualifying households. So the next step is for the minister then to determine the date of the final switch off in consultation with industry, which is the process that is being looked at currently as we speak. So while the date for the final analog switch off has been determined, then we can then fully migrate the entire country and release the spectrum bands so that the mobile operators who have been allocated the spectrum can fully utilize the spectrum. So, Chair, I am going to then hand over to the team to take us through the details of the presentation. The ADG is on the platform, the DDG is also on the platform, but I believe that, yes, let me hand over to the ADG to then guide us to who's going to do the presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much to the Deputy Minister. And greetings to you, Honourable Chair, and the Honourable Members of the Select Committee. Just to indicate, as the DM indicated, that we are joined on the, I've got a delegation from the department. We've got DDG Ngobeni, he's the charge of ICT infrastructure. We've got the acting DDG, Mashile. He is in charge of our ICT policy. We're also supported by Mr. Dick Sono, who will then be taking us through the presentation. He's our resident spectrum expert. And then we also have Mr. Alf Wills, our policy expert. And with him, he's got Ms. Adelaide Masemola Ramato. She's responsible for the cost to communicate project. It's important that we introduce them in their respective roles, Chair. I'm almost done. We've got Ms. Mariam Paul. She's in charge of the social obligations that the Deputy Minister spoke to. So she's working close in hand with ICASA, the regulator, in monitoring these social obligations. And we also then have officials from the Office of the Minister, the Deputy Minister, as well as the DG. If we could put up the presentation, please, and I'm going to ask Mr. Sono to take us through. As I hand over to Mr. Sono, just to emphasize some of the salient issues in terms of our policy provisions and what we mean to do, aligned to the medium-term strategic framework. We want to ensure the transformation of the industries and as equally supporting other industries in order to make South Africa much more competitive. And we are focusing therefore on the social obligations in terms of closing the digital divide and ensuring that government institutions and offices are connected in order to be able to provide services to the citizens. And then lastly, we're focusing on the issue of addressing the cost to communicate to ensure that it is affordable for all our citizens, irrespective of where you are residing in South Africa. I'd like to hand over to Mr. Sono, then he will take us through the presentation. Thank you. Mr. Sono?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, ADG. Good morning, honorable members of the Select Committee, the Deputy Minister, senior officials of the department. As it has been highlighted by, could we go to the next slide, please?
Mr. Sono, is it possible that we can see you first and foremost?
Are you able to see me? I've opened my video this side.
Thank you. We can see you now. Thank you.
Okay. You want me to present while I'm projected, or can I close?
Yeah, no. Now that we can see that you are upright, it's okay.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
There are, of course, different factors which affect the cost to communicate. And I think that's one reason why we having a team here that deals with cost to communicate. And of course, the conclusion in terms of ensuring that data goes down, there are several things that needs to be done from a department or government's point of view. We need to look at the policies that we are having to ensure that they promote issues like competition as it has been identified by the Competition Commission and ICASA. We are also of the view that spectrum directly or indirectly, it affects cost to communicate, and hence the decision to go ahead with the licensing of spectrum as per the introduction by the Deputy Minister. In March of 2022, ICASA licensed the high demand spectrum, which addresses the coverage and Are you able to hear me?
Yes, we hear you clearly. Mr. Sono?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. Yeah, in March of 2022, yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you clearly.
Thank you, Chair. In March of 2022, ICASA completed the licensing process of the 700, 800, and 2600 megahertz and 3500 megahertz of spectrum bands. This particular auction, it had six qualified bidders. The usual culprits, Cell C, Liquid, MTN, Rain Telecom, and Vodacom. And as alluded by the Deputy Minister at the beginning, majority of this particular spectrum was won by MTN and Vodacom, with MTN getting around 100 megahertz of this particular spectrum, Vodacom 110 respectively, which means that the challenge that we are having as a republic of an oligopoly, it is not going to be addressed soon. And as a result, issues of competition have been identified by the study by the Competition Commission, and of course ICASA will perpetuate. The question would be, what is it that we are doing as government and as a regulator to ensure that we promote competition in this particular market? And the reason why we're doing that, it is because competition was identified as a key factor in terms of if one has to drive cost to communicate down. We need to, as government, respond with the relevant policies, and hence the decision by the minister to issue a spectrum policy, which will be one of the mechanisms that we're using to address the concerns of a skewed market that tends to favor only two operators, which is MTN and Vodacom. Next slide, please. The one issue that I think I should highlight as I go through this thing is that there is an expectation that because MTN, Vodacom, and the other operators have received spectrum in March, and we will see the cost to communicate going down immediately. That is not to be. We are going to see this cost to communicate being prolonged for several reasons. First of all, the spectrum is not yet available as it was highlighted. It needs to be freed first, because it's currently being used by analog systems, analog broadcasting. So this particular spectrum must be cleaned first. And I'm trying to use simple terms here in order for it to be available and fully utilized. So in pockets of areas of the republic where this particular spectrum is being used, the operators had started using it, but unfortunately, majority of the provinces and the major part of the republic, that particular spectrum is not yet used, is not yet available until we do the cleanup of the currently digital systems where these set of boxes have been deployed on. Now, in order to address competition, the minister on the 8th of September, she issued a policy direction. We call it the Next Generation Spectrum Policy. It looks at the different applications, including mobile, which is one of those that are key to broadband that all South Africans must enjoy. This particular policy, it had a closing date when it comes to written submissions of the 20th of October. We received around 48 plus submissions from stakeholders interested and interested parties. We are in a process as the department to analyze the submissions. But at the heart of this particular spectrum policy is to ensure economic inclusion, bridge the digital divide, bridge the connectivity divide, which continues to exclude rural and underserviced areas, drive cost to communicate down, and I think it's one of those that are key to this particular meeting, avail more spectrum technology to support technology innovation and emerging technologies. Next slide, please. The problems that were identified in this particular spectrum policy were shortage and limitations on availability of spectrum, such that in certain bands, demand for spectrum exceeds supply, insufficient allocation of spectrum, which as a resultant of data being expensive. And the reason why data becomes expensive, it is because building networks is capitally intensive, which implies that those, and here we're looking at the operators, if you do not give them sufficient spectrum, if, for example, one would say an area must be covered with five base stations, if they've got more spectrum, such an area can be covered with two or three base stations, meaning that the savings that would result from the build of these particular networks can be realized by the end users, and hence the need to ensure that there's more allocation of spectrum being given to this particular operators to ensure that during build they do not spend more on the networks that they continue to build. We continue to have an issue with a closed market, which addresses the issues of competition, where smaller players our SMMEs and vertical businesses are not included, and this perpetuates what we have, an exclusive spectrum regime which promotes an economic growth for fewer players. Connectivity divide is one of those that are a problem, and unfortunately it affects only the rural and the underserved communities. And as a result, those particular communities tends to suffer from a lack of broadband in their areas. Most of them are still using 2G and 3G. And in terms of South Africa Connect, which is our broadband policy, it has user experiences of around 5 megabits per second that must be enjoyed by each and individual users. But if you're using your 2G and your 3G, those are inferior technologies, and as a result, the people in the rural areas are not going to benefit from the broadband that we're hoping to universally achieve for all of us. Next slide, please. In terms of the process, we are currently at the red circle of analyzing the submissions. All these other steps have been done. We had included them here just for information, but we are in a process to finalize and the analysis of the document. As soon as we're done, a submission will be made to the minister, and the minister will take that to the cabinet committee for final approval. We do hope that the document will be finalized between December and March 2023. So we are still on schedule in ensuring that this particular document is finalized. The next slide, please. In terms of the key reforms, we extracted the reforms that are key to this particular process. And I think when you speak to government, you need to make sure that at all costs, when you do allocations of your spectrum, government services are taken into consideration, because this, they offer security to ourselves. They offer safety of life services. So as we continue to ensure that there's more spectrum allocated to, for example, MNOs, we make sure that spectrum allocated to government services, it gets to be protected. Now, if we have to really enhance competition, we need to come up with different ways, market-based approaches, such as sharing and trading of spectrum. This will allow that there's more competition. It will also ensure that those that are not having spectrum currently licensed to the operators, for example, they can basically have access to that particular spectrum. I'll give you an example. If one drives along nice in a day, Cell C has around 900 megahertz, but you'll never get Cell C coverage in that particular area. But you can imagine if modules like sharing are allowed, those that are having pockets in that other area and they're interested in telecommunications, they can share spectrum with Cell C and ensure that this competition in the use of this particular resource. We are also of the view that we need to continue with connecting the unconnected, and this is the only way to bridge the connectivity gaps that has been identified as a problem as part of the problem statement. Now, the report of the commission is highlighted at the beginning, the 2019 report. It provided alternative networks as a means of advancing competition or promoting competition. They are advocated for the use of Wi-Fi as one way of promoting competition. And of course, a new term was brought in, community networks. Some will say community networks have been there, we've tried the use of, and they failed. Why are we doing it? Our view is that the users never got the necessary regulatory support, and hence their failure. But in this particular policy, we are advocating for the regulator to review its regulatory framework to ensure that the sustainability in this particular networks, we're not going to just launch them and the next thing they tend to fail. We've recently seen one of these networks being launched in the Eastern Cape. It's one of those that are following this community network approaches. So our responsibility as government is to ensure that we provide spectrum for this particular networks. And the issue of Wi-Fi, I think all of us here, when we walk in our houses, there's Wi-Fi, but those that are in the rural communities, they're not having this particular luxury. Hence, this particular policy being elevating the use of Wi-Fi, which will ensure that even the rural communities can have affordable access to data services, like us in the urban areas. We also are coming in and saying in order to assist, because the reliance on the mobile network operators has not yielded the fruits that, or has not met the objectives of government fully, and we've seen the experience that with our rural and remote areas. So we are saying that we need to, as government, come up with interventions such as a stage digital infrastructure company. And in order for this company to succeed, Spectrum must be certified for its particular use. So the company would provide things like your backhaul fiber in the urban and also in the rural areas, and hopefully when they build in their business case eventually, their main focus will be in ensuring that connectivity is also achieved at the rural areas. Now we also are in support of universal and affordable access to internet. This is one of the sustainable developmental goals it's a sustainable developmental goal which is driven from an ITU point of view, where globally all of us are supposed to ensure that we offer such services to our citizens. Spectrum for community use. We believe that no one must be left behind when it comes to the use of data. Hence, we're saying we need to have spectrum that is dedicated for community use. This is one of those reforms that are speaking to free data for indigenous homes. So a regulatory framework will be developed with the regulator and stakeholders to ensure that those that are indigenous or lower LSMs, they receive free data and they can have the same benefits that those that are in the urban areas are having. We also have the view that we need to continuously ensure that there's more allocation of spectrum. And allocation here, it happens at the World Radio Conferences that we continue to prepare for as the department every 4 years. So our mandate must ensure that we advocate for more spectrum that will advance broadband connectivity for South Africans. So that's one of those that we put as a priority when we continue to go to this particular meeting. We are also in support of universal service obligations. During the ITA, the auction of the spectrum in March, there were universal service obligations that were given to the different operators. These are also meant to ensure that we provide access to our rural communities and ensure that your schools, your clinics are also connected, because they, if we have to move in the world of 5G, where technology can be used for health, you need to have your clinics, your hospitals being connected. And one way of doing it is through the use of the USOs. And we are asking the regulator to review the regulatory framework that they currently are having, because as we said, what they had before March 2022 was not really addressing the goals or the objectives of government when it comes to USOs. We also are advocating for a hybrid approach of licensing. The use of auctions, while it's good for the fiscals, it might not be good for smaller players. If I were to use an example of Cell C, in this current round of licensing, they only managed to get around 10 meg, which is 1/10 of or 10% of the spectrum that was received by MTN when MTN got around 100 megahertz. So that will tell you that an auction, while it was good for government, it was not good for the smaller players. And those SMMEs, if we continue with the hybrid, they might not see spectrum being licensed to them at any time in the future. So we are saying both auctions and administrative methods of licensing must be considered if we have to promote competition in this particular market. Next slide, please. In terms of the process, and this particular slide, Chair, it addresses our concerns in ensuring that we free more spectrum. And when we free this more spectrum, we are saying we want to move South Africans from the use of 2G and 3G. And one of the fundamental reasons is that 2Gs and 3Gs are not meeting the requirements of broadband. And if you have to ensure that you participate in this digital space, this digital era of digital economy, digital everything, you need to have broadband that can give you the right speeds. But this particular 2G and 3G, it is absolutely not doing that. There's a view, of course, that those in the rural areas are going to be disadvantaged. And we are saying that today there are devices, entry devices that supports 4G and 5G at around 300 rand. So why can't those be used by people in the rural areas if that is the case? So we simply are providing a roadmap. This will basically change because the inputs that we are getting, Chair, they are suggesting something else. The banking sectors, the security sectors, which are basically concerned about this particular sunset, some are proposing around 5 years beyond what we are having. So we are looking at that, and the minister will basically make a decision. But ultimately, the aim of this particular exercise is to ensure that every South African is accommodated. Every South African has access to broadband connectivity, and the only way to do it with the current technology, you've seen that 4G and 5G are the right technology, and 5G and beyond are the right technologies that will ensure that South Africans realizes broadband. Next slide, please. Of course, as you do this, making sure that there's a release or shutting down your 2G and your 3G, you need to have that particular commitment that 4G and 5G would be rolled out, including in the rural areas. Hence, the need to have this particular roadmap. So as we make a decision in terms of switching of your 2G and the 3G, there will be that particular overlap and alignment with what this particular roadmap. So it is not just going to be a blind switch off, which will impact negatively on people in the rural and the remote areas of the Republic. Next slide, please. In terms of the social obligations, I've spoken about those when I was speaking to the reforms. We, during the ITA, there was an agreement, and those that were given spectrum, this particular USOs were given. This was part of the condition of getting the spectrum, where around 18,500 public schools would be connected, and connectivity here, Chair, it's connectivity that comes with connecting 4G or 5G, not 2G and 3G. So these schools and these clinics, the government hospitals, they will be connected with the latest technology, which will ensure that if I were to use hospitals, that there will be exchange of information from hospital to another during maybe a medical procedures of some sort. We also in this particular document ensured that traditional offices, which are mainly around the rural areas, should also be covered. And I think this is something new that we've never done as a republic. We also are replaced we had police stations, but we've replaced this with libraries after consultation with ICASA. Next slide, please. Should be the last slide, if I'm not mistaken. In conclusion, there will be a super session. We have a challenge of using the ICT white paper and of course the 2010 spectrum policy that gets to be quoted back and forth. Those that were aware of the litigation that we had during the ITA would remember that the back and forth and the dancing that we're doing because of the inconsistencies in this particular two documents. So this policy, it also addresses and make sure that that particular alignment, as most of the principles that we are having in this document came out of the documents. But we're clearing the gray areas that we found ourselves having to deal with at the courts. We are going to finalize this as the next step, as I had highlighted. Now, I think one of the things that we also are getting right is to have constant meetings with ICASA, the Competition Commission, to ensure that we continue with monitoring that the cost to communicate, it has to continue to go down. Now, the will, this is one of the interventions that we had just made as the department to say we need to review the spectrum policy to ensure that it addresses competition issues that were raised in the two reports. But beyond that, we need to also, as the department, issue a policy and a policy direction on cost to communicate. Once you have that, this document will address the different factors that are affecting cost to communicate, and not only competition, but any other factor that we deem affects the cost to communicate and ensures that cost to communicate eventually goes down, will be addressed in this particular document. And finally, Chair, lowering cost to communicate, it's not an event, it's a process. So we need to constantly ensure that we lower cost to communicate. As technology advances, there's efficiency in utilization from electricity, spectrum, and so forth. So there's that just to be realized by the operators. The same benefit must be realized by our users. As the device ecosystem continues to grow and mature, devices continues to go down, so that must also be realized by citizens. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I think that concludes our presentation. May I ask Adelaide to switch off your mic, please? Chairperson, we are done.
No, siyabulela kakhulu, DM. Thank you very much for that elaborate presentation. I now think that we must give an opportunity to the honorable members to engage with this presentation. Quite very interesting. I'm sure members would like to ask questions of clarity, and seek more explanation in some of the pertinent issues that we are being made to appreciate here. So, honorable members, I would like now to take this opportunity to invite you, and you will assist me by raising your hands in the platform so that then we can take it from there. Questions and comments are equally welcome. I only see the hand of Honorable Ngwenya. That being the case, then, Honorable Ngwenya, I want to give you the opportunity to have the first bite. Over to you, Mama Ngwenya.
Thanks very much, Chair, and good morning to everyone. Chairperson, let me take this opportunity to welcome the presentation from the department. Honorable Chairperson, I have the following question and input to make. The first and foremost, we must agree that the availability of spectrum to all our people is very important and is non-negotiable. Comrade Chair, data has become a new basic need and service that all our people must have access to it, and it must be accessible at the same level as water and electricity. Honorable Chair, having made this input, I wanted to ask the department, why does it take so long for government to release the new spectrum? Honorable Chairperson, my second question is on the new proposed spectrum policy and 5G. The policy indicates that the department is expected to speed up the rollout of the new technology, such as the fifth generation that is better known as G5. The question, Chairperson, is how much spectrum will be needed for 5G when it is rolling out, and to what extent will its availability and impact on cost affected the poor of the poorest, who are mostly found in remote and rural areas? Chairperson, the right of use of spectrum rests with the state. I want to check how will the department ensure that all sectors benefit from its use. These are my question, Chair, for now, and I thank you, Chairperson, for opportunity to allow me to participate in this meeting. Thanks, Chair. Ngiyabulela.
Enkosi Mama Kakhulu, siyabonga for those very important questions. I just want to check now, because I have not seen any other hand. Is there any member perhaps who is unable to raise the hand through the platform? The member can just indicate by opening the microphone and tell me that she or he would like to say something. It seems as though that the members are quite covered and quite happy with the presentation, and therefore they don't have questions. DM, as well as the acting DG and other officials in the platform, let me also join Umamu Ngwenya. Welcome this very robust presentation, which is quite very critical at this juncture in our country, particularly given the challenges that we faced during the COVID outbreak, wherein when insofar as the connectivity is concerned. Some far-flung areas of our country, I would say most of them were found wanting, particularly schools, clinics, as well as the other, you know, social components in the countryside, because of the lack of the spectrum that we are talking to today. So it gives us a sense of relief that there are plans in place and already a significant amount of rollout has occurred to this effect. But also it gives us comfort to understand that there is a robust program which is meant to bridge connectivity gaps and provide that reliable data services, particularly for remote, rural, and underserved communities. This is quite pleasing. And I'm saying so, DM and the team, because like Uma Mungwenya says, is that if we were to treat the issues of spectrum and data as though we are treating some of the basic needs, this issue of spectrum has become a right rather than a privilege, because it gives our people access to information, and information gives people knowledge, and knowledge empowers people. And therefore, it is an issue that has to be prioritized. And as such, we cannot afford, therefore, to allow data being only referred to as new money, and that actually translates to a situation where the price tag of the data becomes too expensive. We believe that ICASA, together with your department, DM, must ensure that you put the price tag at a very affordable pricing so that even the poorest of the poor can afford to access the spectrum. And therefore, the data price must ensure that even the people that only service and finance their livelihood through the grant, the social grant, can be able to afford. Because if you don't do that, you will be excluding millions of people in our country. Technically, you would be making data in spectrum something of the middle class and the high class. I therefore wish to underline that part, DM, that we have to look into this and ensure that data must be looked at as something that should be accessed by all. It must be compulsory for everybody to access it. And that they shouldn't be gatekeeping, which is caused by the exorbitant pricing that is associated with the price of data. Having said that, DM, I would like to have an understanding that given the fact that there are these bidders that have won to actually assist in the rollout of the spectrum. These are very big companies in the country that are licensed by ICASA. They include, as you have mentioned, Cell C, MTN, Vodacom, Telkom, and others. What I want to understand insofar as these companies, because we need to know this information. What is the ownership structure? What is the participation of our communities, particularly historically disadvantaged Africans, in terms of the ownership of these entities? Are these entities, in their majority, in terms of ownership, owned by South Africans? Because that's very critical. We can no longer outsource the issue of ownership to a few and even to foreigners. It is very critical that we ensure that when it comes to the broad black owned participation, it is actually mainstreamed insofar as these are companies that are making billions and billions of profits year on year. And these are companies that are actually doing well, for obvious reasons, because everybody wants to have access to a telephone line, everybody want to have access to data, airtime, and so on. So it's an issue that is used on a daily basis. And therefore, the meaningful participation of our people should be both at upstream, midstream. When it comes to downstream, that is an obvious question, but we can no longer reduce our people just to mere consumers. We have to ensure that we make use of the fourth and the fifth industrial revolution to ensure a meaningful participation of our people in these processes. It's very, very key that we actually deal with that. So I'm very much interested that you may share this information with us in terms of the ownership structure of all of these entities. Because we must see at the end of the day that the money that we spend is going to a particular direction which empowers our people so that we can be able to transform and change the complexion of ownership, particularly in a new sector like this, which is going to be with us for many, many years to come. And therefore, we can't find ourselves in the same equilibrium as it was, for instance, when it comes to the minerals and energy complex. So it's very important that on this one, right from inception, there is a meaningful participation of our people. Having said that, there is what is called in the financial services the finance charter, which actually regulates and dictates on the financial institutions and instruments for this participation of the historically disadvantaged African majority. This applies to banks. It's supposed to apply to banks, supposed to refer to financial institutions like insurance companies and so on. But there was also a charter in the minerals sector, which was determining that a certain percentage, 26%, if I'm not mistaken, by such and such a time, should translate to unencumbered shareholding by previously disadvantaged Africans. I want to understand, DM and your team, that have you put such an instrument, or are there any plans in place to put such an instrument when it comes to this very important sector of telecommunications and technology, if I may put it that way, so that we can then regulate that a certain significant percentage of ownership of transactions that relates to broadband, spectrum, data, telephony, and everything that is related in that space is actually owned by the majority of this country, the Africans in particular. It is important that we say this because it talks to transformation. Otherwise, we'll be moving in circles in this country, and this country will never move on and move forward insofar as ensuring that the wealth of the country really sits in the hands of the majority of our people in a very significant way. So we have to take a revolutionary approach when it comes to this. I cannot overemphasize this. And for me, it should not be an option, but it should be a condition that the department must lead from the front insofar as ensuring that there's a clear policy perspective that drives that particular communique across the spectrum. Thank you very much, DM. I think given the fact that there's only been a comment and question from Mamu Wenya and myself, so we will hand back to you so that then you can provide responses. And we will then take it from there. Over to you, DM.
Thank you, Chair. Let's welcome the questions and the comments from yourself and Mamu Kwenya. Can I request that the officials from the department start and deal with some of the questions, and those that have not been responded to, I'll come at the end. DG, Mr. Ngobeni, Mr. Sono, and any other official in the department who likes to respond.
Yes, thank you, DM. I'm going to ask then the colleagues to respond. Perhaps starting off with Didi Jingobeni, just to highlight the issues with what we found during COVID in terms of our challenges and why then the revised spectrum and the obligations in terms of the spectrum auctioning that took place. And then maybe Didi Jingobeni, and was supported by Miriam, and then on the issue of data and the cost, we can ask Adelaide to respond on that. With regards to the ownership issue and the empowerment, I'm going to again ask the policy colleagues to just respond on that, and then also supported by Mr. Fano.
Thank you, DG. And thank you, Chair and honorable members, and good morning, DM colleagues. On the issue of the spectrum during the COVID era, it became very clear at the beginning of COVID that there was a need to have various social and economic services to continue to function in a remote manner. And as a result of that, the department together with the ICASA and worked very closely with the sector, came up with the policy directives that were issued. And amongst that, those policy directives, there was an issue of granting spectrum on a temporary basis to the mobile operators who already had networks. And that spectrum was given with conditions that they needed to implement obligations, particularly to connect schools. In terms of the usage of that spectrum, it became clear during COVID, even after that, there was a huge demand in terms of spectrum usage. The capacity more than tripled in terms of what was transmitted over these mobile networks. So that spectrum was very essential. And they started the process of implementing the obligations in terms of connecting schools. The initial approach was to provide connectivity to schools, and during the engagement with the Department of Basic Education, the obligations were defined that they don't only provide connectivity to the schools, but also look at providing devices to the schools to support the matriculants. The implementation of the obligations has not been satisfactory. It became clear that the operators were starting to indicate some challenges when they have to implement the obligations as they were given to them. So there have been some partial implementation of the obligations. I think Miriam can just provide the details in terms of that implementation. And hence, in this revised policy, there is a need for ICASA to come up with a policy framework that will ensure that there's effectiveness in terms of implementing these obligations and provide for an enforcement mechanism such that when they are issued to the entities, there's also implementation. Maybe we can just provide some details in terms of the implementation of the obligations. Thank you, Chair.
Oh, I thought that we still have one more person to answer.
That's correct, Chair. We've got quite a few. Miriam, if you could please come in on the obligations, and then followed by Adelaide and I'll speak.
Yeah, and I will just suggest that we move from one answer to the other so that I don't interrupt the process as it's moving better. If you can just make sure that from the next person, you can then refer the other question to the next until you say you have completed the answering, and then you can take the meeting back to me.
Okay, thank you, Chair. We'll do so. Miriam? And whilst maybe Miriam is, seemed to have lost her on the platform, can I then ask to hand over to Adelaide? Okay, Miriam, yes, I can see you now. Please go ahead. Are you able to? There seems to be technical challenges with Miriam. May I then ask Adelaide to kindly take the floor? Good morning to everyone. I don't know if I'm audible. You are audible, but we can't seem to see your face.
Is the video share screen? No. Video. It's like technology is failing me.
No, we can proceed then. We'll show your face later. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, ADG. Thank you to DM. Thank you to the chairperson of the portfolio committee and the honorable members of the portfolio committee. On the issue of competition and data, with the implementation of Spectrum and the various initiatives that the department is undertaking, we are now seeing changes in the prices of data. Let me go back to the issue of the Competition Commission market inquiry that was done in 2019. It brought many changes in the market. And the highlight of that study was on the reduction of 1 gig. We saw between 35% and 45% decrease of 1 gig in the country across all mobile operators. However, there's still issues of new digital players, the WhatsApps, the Twitters, the Facebook, which are now, you know, in the space, and they've created changes of consumer needs and preference and demands, this transformation. And the Competition Commission, as we're speaking, is busy with a study of these online platforms, and we'll see how the study outcomes that will give us also direction and see which policy imperatives the department can also apply to. Another thing is the department is busy with the issue of cloud computing, which will, at the end, leverage new services that are enabled by the 5G and the IoT. There is progress in that space of cloud computing, data and cloud computing. And I would like to say that infrastructure access is an impediment, especially in small areas, in rural areas. And we've seen that the operators are really making huge investments on ensuring that 5G people have access to 5G. And that investment also causes an impairment to reducing the cost to communicate down, as we all know that operators are more interested in their revenues and so forth. Still, the Data Market Service Inquiry also came with the issue of the levels of competition, the still market concentration. We all know that MTN and Vodacom are dominating the space. We had a working a group with other regulators to review chapter 10 of the ECA to ensure that this issue is being dealt with. And I want to say that what takes long for the implementation of policies is the issue of the way the law is crafted. But with the Competition Commission report, the department has now, coming with some innovative ways of ensuring that we shorten the period of this market study. I think also the other thing is Chair Person has spoken to about the COVID-19. We have to come with ways of mitigating global pandemic and ensuring that more content is zero rated. And we saw at the 2022 plenary of the ITU, a resolution was adopted on this issue. And we have to come with innovative ways of ensuring that more and more government services are zero rated. That's all from me. Thank you, Chairperson. And ADG and the Deputy Minister. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Adelaide. Maybe just to also add on that, because of the long protracted period for us to make interventions in the reduction of the cost to communicate, Honourable Ngwenna asked the question. We are now in the process of reviewing our ECA, as Adelaide indicated. This will be serving before you, hopefully next year, early sometime, in order then for us to make those amendments to enable us to be able to assess this on an annual level, annual basis, and then be able to make those recommendations through a policy directive to the regulator, ICASA. At the moment, honorable members may want to know the measures. Pardon me, the measures that we've put in place is that we are enabling a trilateral forum, ourselves, the Competition Commission, as well as the regulator, to then assess this. And what is currently happening is that we are appealing on the operators because the legislation is slightly a hindrance for us to then try and reduce those costs to communicate. At times, honorable members, you would have seen, fortunately during COVID, we did see some reductions. That was not necessarily about COVID per se, but the interventions that the Competition Commission made. We saw a decline of about 33% across all the mobile operators. But what unfortunately is of concern now and what we carried in the presentation is that that cost has actually increased. So we have to have a instrument and a mechanism to make sure that this decline is one way and in order for us to make sure that data is affordable in our country. I'm going to, I think Miriam said that she had a connectivity problem. She may be able to come in again, Chair. Still have a number of questions that we would like to respond. So I'll hand over to Miriam, and then thereafter, I'm going to ask DDG Colin Mashili as well as ALST to talk about the ownership issues and what are then the policy instruments that we're introducing to ensure the transformation of our industry. Miriam? Are you speaking? Because we're still not able to hear you. For that, may I then, let me hand over to DDG Mashile, as well as Mr. Alf Wolf, and then DDG Ngobeni, you may come in after.
Thank you, DG. Good morning, Chairperson and members and Deputy Minister and colleagues. So in terms of ownership of the sector, members will recollect that the law indicates that the ICT sector must be owned by South Africans. So now and then, ICASA will be reporting on ownership patterns that are there within the broadcasting, the postal, and the telecommunication sector. And due to the requirements of various charters in the sector, we are currently managing an ICT BBBEE sector council, and my colleague Alfred Moto is here to share with the members in terms of the work that is being done there. Over to you, Alfred.
Thank you, and good morning, Chairperson, Deputy Minister, Honorable Members, DG, and colleagues from the department. First, I'll talk about transformation in general because ownership is just but one element of it. The council finalized...
Apologies, Alfred. There seems to be, if you could just check your camera, I'm not so sure whether it's facing the other way, or because we can see
it's on, but I don't see myself. I think it might be affected by the connectivity in the office, but I'll keep the camera on maybe to come on as I'm speaking. May I proceed, DG?
Yes, please.
Yes, I was saying ownership is but one element of BEE transformation that we are looking at in collaboration with the council. The current code that is in application was gazetted in 2016. What basically happens is that the council develops a monitoring report every year to be able to determine the extent of transformation relating to all elements of the BEE sector code from ownership, from management control, skills development, enterprise development. They look at all these elements, and based on this report, that sets the basis for engagement with the department and the sector to be able to say, we have identified that in terms of, for instance, if they say, in terms of management control, we are realizing that there is underperformance, maybe in terms of women or in terms of youth, or different groups of society to say, what are you doing about that? That's the part of monitoring that they do, but it is also accompanied by a report, which is subsequently submitted to the BEE Commission to also for them to look at the code and say, are there certain elements that we need to improve based on the extent to which the sector is performing? The council has subsequently reviewed the code, again intended to intensify transformation in the sector, trying to strengthen certain elements like ownership, management control, and skills development so that the sector begins to focus extensively on those because they are perceived to have the economic impact that you are looking for to address the three challenges that you are all aware about. But on top of that, the department has also started a process. What we have realized is that most multinationals are having high BEE ratings. And what we have started to do was to say, we want these high BEE ratings to translate into the impact that we are seeking. So we are starting to engage them on, in terms of their programs to say, if they are saying they are busy with skills development, we can start helping them to identify the groups that they can be able to train. For instance, SMMEs, to make sure that once you have, as you be aware, once you have a strengthened SMME sector, then you have the potential for economic growth, because you begin to help them to expand, to create more job opportunities. So we have said, where you have this kind of interventions, we'd like to work with you. If it is skills development, if it is enterprise development, we'd like to work with you to be able to help you to channel the, your resources in appropriate places. And we have started processes like that with Microsoft, and we are planning to do the same with Google and Amazon Web Services. So it is what is part of the ongoing work, but it is suffices to report here that the transformation in the sector is monitored on a regular basis, and it focuses primarily on ownership, on management control. Management control is basically to determine, to look at different levels of management and say, does it reflect the demographics of South Africa? And if it doesn't, what are the things that we need to do? Enterprise development also, it is focused primarily on support for SMMEs. And we're looking at interventions that do not just help with the training, but to say, how can you, these big companies in their respective value chain, begin to identify opportunities that can be used to strengthen SMMEs. That is in general what we are doing with BEE. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mot. And Chairperson, Deputy Minister, Mr. Alfuls will speak on the engagements that we have had with the ICASA and the Competition Commission and the upcoming legislative review that we are going to do in relation to the matters related thereto. Alf?
Thank you, Chair. But just to perhaps add on to the spectrum first, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, because Mr. Walter spoke to the general framework, but then bringing it closer to home in the spectrum context, what ICASA did in the ITA issued in December 2021 for the ITA for the item on spectrum, then they specifically ensured the promotion of broad-based Black economic empowerment. In addition to what's already prescribed in the radio frequency spectrum regulations, they specifically said that a licensee must, within 36 months of the promulgation of the limitations of control and equity ownership by HDG and the application of the ICT Sector Code 2021 regulations, those regulations, reach a minimum of level 4 contributor status in terms of the code of good practice applicable to the ICT sector. So that's one. Then two, part of the disqualification criteria, it included a requirement that an applicant should not have less than 30% equity ownership by historically disadvantaged persons. So that's how that was enforced, going into the ITA and then the application process for the licenses. And they took it further. Even the ITA included, for example, a requirement that successful bidders had to host MVNOs and create and host MVNOs. And for example, in that regard, said that at least 51% ownership in those MVNOs should be held by historically disadvantaged persons. Over and above that, ICASA recently started an interesting process of amendments to their regulations in respect of the limitations of control and equity ownership by historically disadvantaged groups. And whereas in the past, the system only existed where the 30% equity ownership applied, ICASA now brought in a dual system of of both applying to individual licenses the 30% HDG equity ownership, but also in addition the contributor level 4 status, and then specifically another one that's pending implementation 30% Black people equity ownership. So in essence, these new developments and progressive regulations will apply over above what ICASA already prescribed in the ITA and the licenses issued. Okay, in terms of cost to communicate and the data services market inquiry, it's a process that started early in 2014, 15, 16, where the then our minister requested the then minister of EDD to start a process through the Competition Commission to do an inquiry on the cost of data. That eventually culminated in a report called the Data Services Market Inquiry Report of 2019. In that report, a number of recommendations are made by the Competition Commission, including some structural changes in the Electronic Communications Act that will bring about more effective competition and ultimately mechanisms to reduce the cost to communicate. At the heart of some of those amendments are powers, additional powers enabling our regulator, ICASA, to better regulate the sector and better regulate competition. It includes a host of matters from rapid deployment and a new licensing category, bringing passive infrastructure into the fold of licensing, for example. When it comes to sharing, it has linkages to the current proposed spectrum policy that Mr. Stoner presented on earlier, and what to do with unused spectrum, potentially linking that to community networks. It improves the whole facilities leasing framework that has been problematic over the years, and the calls to improve the facilities leasing regime, including towards better open access regulation. When it comes to the wholesale pricing, it sets pricing principles that ICASA can then apply, and this time obliges ICASA to prescribe wholesale prices that facilities can then therefore be leased upon. The competition chapter is problematic. It's a difficult and cumbersome process to do market reviews. In that regard, there's alignment being done with the competition legislation that makes it easier again for ICASA to do competition assessments and deal with specific problems in competition areas. And lastly, it makes provision for cooperation between the Competition Commission and ICASA, where the one regulator can use, for example, findings of the other regulator in doing their work. So a number of very good initiatives towards promoting competition and reducing the cost to communicate. We've put together this in an interdepartmental task team with the Competition Commission, ICASA on board, departments of COCTA, for example, CELGA, as well as the DTIC, all working together and putting a bill together. So, Chair, it's currently called the Electronic Communications Amendment Bill, focusing on competition matters, but it may still proceed in another form. But that's the progress with that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. West. Chair, I'd like to then now hand over to Didi Jingobeni as well as Miriam. Miriam is still going to come on the social obligations. And then Didi Jingobeni, yours and Mr. Sono, yours is a tough one in terms of the indicator of how much spectrum is needed for 5G and whether or not this will be available in rural as well as poor areas. I must indicate that ours is to ensure, as I indicated, that we bridge the digital divide. So certainly the access must be equal to urban as well as rural areas. Honorable Ngwena, you did ask that question, but I'll ask BDG then to elaborate. Thank you.
Thank you, DG. Yeah, again, on the issue of the spectrum required for 5G, the 5G technology, because it's not only about speed, there are also issues about the cloud service itself in terms of what's called latency or the delays on the service that's being provided. So often there's quite wide bandwidth, so a lot of spectrum is required for 5G compared to previous technologies, looking at above 50 megahertz per channel that's required for 5G. But I'll ask Mr. Sono to go into details in terms of that. And it's also that's also guided by the amount, the spectrum or the frequency bands that are available for us. That's why the 5G is going to operate across multiple of frequency bands. But Mr. Sony can just elaborate in terms of the details of the amount. Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, thank you very much, DG. The issue on how much spectrum is needed for 5G, from a theoretical point of view, to deploy a 5G network, one requires around 80 megahertz, 200 megahertz of spectrum. And this particular spectrum must be in what we refer to as a continuous band. But unfortunately, because spectrum in the past, when it was licensed, it was licensed in smaller chunks where operators were many and they were given on average around 2 by 10 megahertz, which would equate to around 20 megahertz of spectrum. We said, and this is not only a problem with South Africa, it's a general problem all over the world where there was fragmentation in licensing of this particular spectrum. However, because we live in a world where technology evolves, and then with technology anything can be done, we're having tools or mechanisms that can be utilized to ensure that the different fragmented bands, say for example you had 2 by 10 on 900, 2 by 10 on 1800 and 3600. So what you do is there's what we call carrier aggregation, meaning that we take the different spectrum bands, we combine them such that we have a cumulative 80 megahertz spectrum. Now, that being said, and if one were to basically look at the latest spectrum auction that we had, we had Vodacom getting around megahertz, 110 megahertz of spectrum. This is spectrum in the different bands. So Vodacom could use the same technology, carrier aggregation. Of course, it comes at a cost, and ensure that the combination of the different bands in the 700, 1800, 3500, and the 2600 that they won during the auction is aggregated to ensure that it delivers basic minimum requirements of 5G to support. And as DDG had said, that 5G is not just only about data. There's different applications that comes with it. The issues of speed, issues of latency, because if one has to deal with health issues, gaming that we tend to have, you need to have a quick response on your technology. So this can basically be achieved through this particular use of a carrier aggregation. We also are having at the last conference, the 2019, we made pronouncements of spectrum around the 26 gigahertz, which is just way above the usual spectrum that we use. It also, of course, comes with challenges that, because it's spectrum at higher end of the electromagnetic wave, it tends to transverse or travel only shorter distances, meaning that this particular spectrum, if it has to be used, it can only be used in areas, in dense areas like your cities, metros, and not be able to possibly use it in the rural areas, because the deployment of such spectrum would need what we call small cells, you know, small base stations that have to be in one area, and it works better in from an economic point of view in crowded areas. But if we have to ensure that 5G is also utilized at the rural areas, it's achieved at the rural areas, we need to also make sure that the fiber in the rural areas, if there's no fiber, microwaves can also be used to provide what we call a backhaul. It will basically be a link that links one base station to another so that there's communication with the ground. So to answer Honorable Ngwenya, through the methods that are basically provided, if 5G has to be achieved in the rural areas as an objective of government, it is possible that it can also be achieved based with the use of other technologies that can supplement or complement the current technologies that we're having. There was also the question of data being regarded as a basic need, like water and electricity. I think fundamentally one of the principles of this particular policy, when it has what we call the principle of leaving no one behind, and behind that particular principle, we are saying that government must prescribe data as a basic need, and exactly as the honourable member had said, like water and electricity. And that being said, we are advocating to see that data regarded as a basic need and a free basic need. Now, the challenge that I think we are facing right now is that the people that are more disadvantaged are the ones that are in the rural and remote areas, and of course indigenous homes. So in this particular policy, we are saying those are the people that must be prioritized, and free data must be basically given to them. Those that are in the urban areas like me and you, I think we have access to this night owls and whatever that these operators continue to give, because we can afford our postpaid. So that somehow it caters. But core to this policy is that everyone must have access to data at an affordable price, whether poor or cheaper. Then the free option, it will be decided or determined by the regulator and all those stakeholders that are basically involved in ensuring that this gets to be realized. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Chair, I'd like to hand back to the Deputy Minister.
I was just thinking, Kapulani, that maybe before you come in, there's an honorable member who was cut off by the system. So at a point when we were asking for comments and questions, she was disconnected. Maybe let's just allow her to actually ask a question or make comments. That's Honorable BB from KZN. Honorable BB.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and apologies to join late. And greetings to yourself, Chairperson, and also members and also the department. Chairperson, I just have got two questions. Although I was not in when it was presented, fortunately, I did have time to go through to the presentations. First question, Chairperson, will be why is the department doing to ensure that mobile operators meet their license conditions, since they prefer to pay fines instead of abiding by government policies? And the last one, Chairperson, is when will a full-time CEO for ICASA be appointed? Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity. Much appreciated. Thanks. I'm done. Thanks.
Thank you, Mama. Thank you so much. Maybe acting DG Nonkubela. Let's tackle that question of Mama Baby, and then you can then hand over to the GM thereafter.
Thank you, Chair, and very good morning to Honorable Bibi. Chair, in terms of the question, yes, Honorable Bibi, we had seen the trend previously in as far as the mobile operators opting rather to settle the fine and instead of meeting the obligations. Fortunately, we, in our discussion and caucus with ICASA, ICASA has now put in measures to then say that if you don't meet your obligations within the agreed time, and the scope in which you're supposed to do it, because that's also very critical. In terms, then you will lose your license, or your license will be suspended up until such time that you have actually reconciled. That is actually quite critical. And the reason being is that as we've given out the spectrum that has been auctioned, mobile operators can opt to go for the easy in terms of low-hanging fruits in as far as the spectrum rollout, whether then they will focus in terms of the urban or semi-urban areas and still, again, leaving out the rural areas, which remains a challenge. So in as far as the obligations, we've said to them that the list of the obligations, they will be coming from government. Ms. Miriam Paul, who could not connect, she has been in liaison with government departments in as far as to identify the sites in terms of schools, health clinics, as well as the traditional leaders of offices or the place of residency, as well as public libraries. Those obligations, we then give them to ICASA. Their responsibility for the regulator is to ensure that they will make sure that in the plans of the operators, they start with the rural, underserved and outreach areas first before they can move into towns. That's one of the ways that we see as a quick win in terms of closing this digital divide. And to ensure, as you said to yourself, Chair, the concern that we saw during COVID, where the schools, clinics, as well as people living in the rural area suffered the most because they did not have access. And then with regards to the second question that Honorable Bibi asked about the filling in of the CEO of ICASA, that particular matter, Honourable Member, lies within the responsibility of the ICASA Council. We can only pass on the message or the question to them and then request them to put it in writing and respond to the select committee in terms of their timeframes for the filling in of the CEO of the ICASA. Thank you, Chair. I think those are then the questions, and I'd like to hand back to you. Thank you.
No, thank you, Sukman Gomera. Thank you very much to you and your team. Maybe we're going to allow the GM to make a conclusion. You know, GM, I have always wondered that if you put on a full tank in your car, you use that petrol or diesel until it is exhausted. There's no point wherein you would be regulated that you can use this full tank until the month end. after the month end, it must be thrown away. You, it's not done like that. But when it comes to airtime and data, there's a prescription that if you buy, you know, so much data bundles, then you are told that after 30 days, that will expire. It doesn't make sense because it data eyeballing. Why are our people not allowed to use what they bought until it is finished? Why do you bring in an instrument to expire it? Because I think that's a brutal exploitation, which if we pay attention to detail, it must be stopped. It's really, really unfair against our people. And you know, I have compared this to other countries. Data and airtime is actually very accessible in many of the first as well as the second world countries that I've been to. But in South Africa, I think it's so much exorbitant, and something needs to be done as urgently as possible, because this is a super exploitation of the poorest of the poor. So DG, in your concluding statement, maybe you can touch on that, because I think your good office has to lead from the front insofar as ensuring that when it comes to accessibility and affordability, we don't beat about the bush. We actually are resolute, and we make that point clearly that these companies must actually act in the best interest of the nation and our people, whilst not compromising what they always look for, which is maximize profits. But it should not happen to the extent that it is as brutal as we see it. Over to you, DM.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think you're raising a fundamental point about the cost and the usage of data. I don't know if there's anybody who wants to take that comment, talk to it, and then I'll come back to it. Is there anybody in the department? Okay.
DM, I may. Okay, Adelaide, please go ahead. Okay. It is true, the cost of data in South Africa comparably is very high with a global standard, with other African countries where the same service providers are operating, the Vodacom and then the MTNs are operating in other countries, but are cheaper in those countries than in South Africa. And during the study of the GSMI, one of the reasons that they gave is that the infrastructure that has been put in South Africa is of a more high standard than that in those African countries. And other studies that have been done, especially by ICT Research Africa, also indicate that data in South Africa is high comparatively, and there's still room for South Africa to reduce the price of data. Hence, currently, we are undertaking a study as part of coming with other innovative ideas that will assist the department to further reduce the cost of data, except the study that was done by a competition commission. And what is more good now is that we're engaging directly with the stakeholders, you know, just to get the feel and understand exactly what the challenges are. And you know, when at times when you most of the time we get a service provider to do this work for us,
But as now we're doing it ourselves, now we're getting, you know, more knowledge, more understanding of the various issues that, you know, makes the price of data to be high. But when coming to the second issue that was raised on the data that gets finished before at month end, there is something called the subscriber charter regulation, which was issued by ICASA, and it clearly stipulates that operators should allow consumers to use the data that was not spent, but it comes with certain rules and regulations from their service providers themselves. You need to inform them prior that I still have more data and I want to use it for the next month. Others, they will say to you, you need to buy this so that this much of data so that you can access the data that we had. It's quite complex, and I think we need to revisit that regulation with ICASA to ensure that it's more simpler and the public can, you know, enjoy the fruits of technology. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Adelaide. And let's thank the officials for their response. Sometimes, Chairperson, these discussions can get very technical. The discussions around the spectrum always tend to be very technical, and there's always a challenge to continue to make sure that we take them from the realm of the technical to the practical, so that we can understand exactly what is it that we want to resolve. Chair, just three things that I think I would like to speak to. But first, just to say that, the experience that we have gained, particularly from COVID up to now, is that the world is getting more and more digital. The digital economy is growing very, very rapidly. In fact, some studies are saying that 50% of the global economy will be digital. So that is a reality that we are facing. That is what I think many have come to characterize as the fourth industrial revolution, with all of these new technologies coming into the picture. And so the reality that we have, not only ourselves, but I think many of the developing countries in Africa and other developing countries, is that more of our citizens do not enjoy the benefits of this rapidly growing digital economy because they do not have connectivity. They do not have access. And so it's something that we need to respond to, for which we are doing that in the department. As it was earlier indicated, that we've got a program that we call a policy, a broadband policy, that we say, we call it the SA Connect, which we hope that will attain some of the objectives that we've set for ourselves, which is to connect 80% of the country. Actually, to make sure that 80% of the country has got access to the internet through a variety of means, including the universal services obligation by the network operators, and together with the other other initiatives, which I'm sure we can be able to come and brief exactly what we're intending to do. But the overarching objective is to make sure that we connect South Africans so that they can benefit enjoy the benefits of this digital economy. One of the things that I think we must continue to speak to is the reduction of the cost of data, mobile data in particular, which I think we have not really that much, Chairperson. From the time of the Data Services Market Inquiry Report up to now, I think there was a point that where the cost of data went down, but all the evidence points to the reality that it's still going up. So there hasn't been a dent. And I always say that this is the second area of a potential revolution, because people they require this data. It has become a need other than a want. It's absolutely essential that people have data so that they can do their work, access the internet and all of that. And so as we take longer to make sure that the cost of data comes down, our people may be impatient and they may rise against all of us and demand that the cost of data must go down. After the feast must fall, as I say, this is the area where we can encounter a serious revolution, particularly by young people who wants affordable access to data and to the internet. And so, as you have heard, there is work that has been done in that regard. The second area, I think, that I would like to speak to is about competition. The reality of our situation, Chair, is that this market is not very competitive. There are two dominant players, which is Vodacom and MTN. Actually, some people are saying it's a duopoly. It's a market dominated by these two players. And as you can see, even from the allocation of spectrum, this allocation perpetuates that domination, because you have got Vodacom that got about 110 megahertz, and then MTN which got 100 megahertz of spectrum. So, and then the smallest one is Cell C. I think they got about 10. So that does not facilitate competition, this allocation. And these are licenses that will be held by these operators for the next 20 years. So initially there was an intention to facilitate entrance into the market by the previously disadvantaged, to make sure that there is much more competition by allocating the intention was to allocate about 30% of the entire spectrum to the wireless, wireless open access network. But unfortunately, those plans had to be abandoned because of experiences in other markets. I think we drew a lot of lessons from what happened to the collapse of this in Mexico. And so there was a need to rethink that approach. And the view was that let's utilize the next policy of spectrum, the next generation the policy that Sona was speaking to, that it will seek to ensure that there is a competition, that it will seek to ensure that there is market access by allocating the next available spectrum, community networks, the state digital infrastructure company, and so forth. So that's where we are, Chair, and I think the proposed amendment to the ECA will assist in facilitating the issue of a competition, will assist in making sure that there's much more transformation. Because you did ask a fundamental question about the ownership, about transformation, and the subsequent question, which I think should be posed, is whether the council, the ICT, BEE council or charter that we have, is sufficient to respond to the need to transform the sector. And I think the jury is still out. I think our colleagues are working on that. They have explained, but we continue to see this issue as a big issue around trust, because transformation is not just about window dressing. Transformation is a fundamental requirement to tilt the ownership patterns in this economy, to make sure that this economy is owned by the majority of the people who inhabit this land, which is called South Africa. So for social stability, we require that there must be transformation of the economy. More and more people must have access, but it is, it still remains a struggle, Chairperson. It still remains an area where we can improve on. But we are not happy, as maybe that must be my parting shot. We are not happy with the fact that the cost of data is not going down. As you know, Chair, it is not only ourselves who are responsible for making sure that this happens, but it's also the duty of the regulator, that the council, that implements government policy and make sure that it regulates the sector in a manner which will do all of the things that they have spoken to about competition, about transformation, and all of that. I think from my side, Chair, I think that will be all. Okay, the question that the Honorable BEE has raised, I think we must formally take it to the council and make sure that there is a formal response to the committee by the regulator. As you know, it's something that the regulator is an independent body, the Chapter 9 institution. They manage their own affairs, and so we are not really involved there. But we will take it to them and make sure that we give you their written response as an emergency. Thank you very much, Chair, and thanks for the engagement.
No, as long as DM, we are really grateful that we hear these answers, and I'm happy that you are acknowledging that you are taking some of the matters as the takeaway, so that there could be follow-ups and take the suggestions which our members have made in relation to issues that relate to what we are talking to, insofar as competition, transformation, and a whole range of issues that are related to ensuring that there's progress, which is yet in the final analysis to give a better service and also present a better community, which is connected holistically with access as well as affordability to all of these very important matters. As you say, that the issue of technology is definitely part and parcel of the present trajectory, but also it's a vehicle that is going to take us to a future of evolution through a revolutionary approach, as you are talking to it. We thank the department, the departmental officials headed by the acting DG, Mrs. Nonkubela. We thank the whole team. And I must say, DM, Honorable Mapulane, that this was our last meeting of 2022. And I would like to take this opportunity to express our deep-felt gratitude as the committee to yourself for always be readily available to stay, to open these meetings, open these presentations, and stay with us, take the questions, answer them, and remain with us throughout. We also wish to express our appreciation to the minister for ensuring that even though she has not been able to attend some of the meetings, but for her to actually communicate with us and inform us in good time and wish us, you know, a productive engagement. That we appreciate. DM, I understand that we will be going to the festive season, and many people like to limit the issue of going to the festive season to the Christmas period only. But I take a different view that this is a period wherein it's time for us to interface with our families as well as our relatives, together with our communities at large. And more than that, it is also a period wherein, as Africans, as natives of this continent, that it is a period for us to intercede with our ancestors, wherein we go through a number of ritual ceremonies which we attend to support our people, either in the rites of passage or a number of other customs that we practice. So I want to take this opportunity to wish you, DM, together with your team of the departmental officials, all the best during this period. It's a very important time for us as an African family to reflect, because most of the time out of these 365 days a year, we spend these days away from home in our workplaces. So this is a very critical time wherein we have, you know, time to ourselves to spend with those that are related to us by blood, by spirit, and so on and so forth. So it's a period that we take seriously. So we wish you all the best during this time, and we hope for the best for the new year in 2023, and we will be looking forward to our first engagement when the year begins. Also, DM, on your part as the leader of the governing party, we understand that from the 16th to the 20th, you will also have a meeting wherein you will be refreshing your mandate as leaders of the governing party. We cannot afford not to wish you the best of success and wish you a very robust engagement, constructive and productive, so that in the final analysis, you can come up with an enriched policy trajectory which can help our country to go forward, particularly that you are also leading a department with state entities, some of which are facing huge challenges financially and otherwise. So may you then, as you journey to that conference, that you take stock of those matters so that in your deliberations and discussions, you bring us the much needed African solutions to the to the challenges that we face through those entities. We wish you all the best, and we're looking forward to hearing from you of the outcomes, especially those that resonate with the work that we do as this committee. And without further ado, DM, we really express our warm appreciation for this particular installment on this day. And I think you have went to town to to make an attempt to answer our questions as well as to respond to our comments. And we don't take that for granted. And I think the manner in which yourself and your team have answered this question, it really appeals to us that there is hope. And we believe, therefore, that there is nothing that we cannot resolve as a people if we work in a manner that pays attention to detail. Unless we do so, unless we pay attention to detail, then we will outsource some of the solutions which we ought to do without seeking wisdom elsewhere, as if there is not enough wisdom or wisdom in a state of abundance within the framework of who we are and our institutions. Siyabonga kakhulu, siyalebuga, sibulela kakhulu. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. All of the best to yourself and the team, as you said, and Merry Christmas, the Happy New Year. We hope to meet each other. Nazrek Chairperson, I know that you'll also be there so that we can chart the future of this country together with the other members. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, we will now release you, and we will remain for a moment to deal with other housekeeping matters as well as some of the issues that we might have to attend to. Thank you very much. You are released. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members.
Thank you.
Honorable members, from where I'm sitting, this was the only item that we had to handle, but I thought that it was necessary that we remain without a guest so that we can also talk to ourselves. Given the fact that indeed this is our last meeting, members, I sincerely wish to express my deep felt gratitude to all of you in the manner in which we have worked in 2022. And equally wish to say that the same message which I communicated to the DM and the team, that let's go back to our communities. We must never forget who we are as we go back home. First and foremost, or in the first instance, we are Africans. And therefore, the issue of interfacing with our families, our relatives, as well as our communities is very key, so that we do not only remain relevant to them as public representatives, but we remain rooted into our culture as a people, because we will never be something else, even if we wish so. We are Africans, and to us, that is not an issue of choosing between A and B. We are always Africans, and nothing will ever change us from that. And therefore, the issue of us interfacing with our communities, as well as to intercede with our ancestors, because our ancestors are pretty much part of us. We are this generation. We are born by our parents. We are born by our grandparents. And therefore, we have a biological relationship with our ancestors, but we also have a spiritual relationship. And one day, we will also transition and we will become ancestors ourselves. That's why I always encourage that we must, at all material times, strike a balance between our modern beliefs, but we should balance that with our original belief systems. Because in the true nature of our Africanity, it is only when we employ that which is us that we become the best of what we are expected to be. And therefore, from my side, I thought that, members, I should wish you a Merry Christmas and wish you a prosperous New Year within that context. That may you remain the good Africans, and may you remain quite very much anchored to your roots, so that as you tackle issues of nationness and issues of the national interest and national agenda, you are clear on the trajectory, that there is no nation that will ever succeed if it negates its own culture and its own background. If you know where you come from and you know where you are, you will never miss the point of where you need to go. So with those few words from my side, I wish to thank you very much. But I will give you an opportunity, members, if you would want to make some comments before we close the meeting. Any member?
Thanks, Chair Ngwenya. Sibulele Chairperson, sibonge futhi kuNkulunkulu othe wasigcina kwaze kwaba la. Sibonge wonke umsebenzi siwenzile nokubambisana kwethu nokubekezelelana kwethu. Sibonge namazwi amnandi othe wasinikeza wona njengamanje angifuni kuwamosha. Ngithi nami mangibonge eche. Sisebenze kahle. Ngicela uNkulunkulu asigcine size siphinde sibuye 2023. Siphila nemindeni yethu kanjalo. Chair, I wanted to check the issue of the minutes, that are we going to adopt the minutes? Are we forming the quorum? Thank you.
No, Masibonga Mamungwenya. Just before we go to that item, I wish to say that the same message which we're communicating to fellow members of the committee, it equally goes to all the officials who have supported us throughout this year. The secretariat, the researchers, everybody will prepare everything for us so that we may look very efficient and effective. We really are grateful to you, and we equally wish you the same with your families, your communities. We are one people. We are working towards the same common goal. The difference is just that others are public office bearers, others are civil servants. But those are just semantics. We are citizens of this country, others are in leadership, others are in management. So we work side by side to ensure that in the final analysis, we deliver on what we are mandated to do. So coming to what Uma Mungwenya is referring to now, the issue of the minutes. From my own assessment, Mungwenya, I can see that most of our members are not here. I'm not sure, but the Secretariat can confirm that we may not be forming a quorum today, but I stand to be corrected. Secretariat, can you please assist?
You are correct, Chair.
Kaupine?
You are correct, Chair. You do not form a quorum.
Okay. No, thank you. Thank you very much. Honourable members, I would then suggest that we defer the adoption of these minutes. They are still a record. They are a living record, which we can always adopt at any given time at our own earliest convenience when all our members are present. So I would request that we defer this to our first meeting when we meet early in the new year. I don't think we have many options in this respect. You wanted to say something? Okay.
Sorry,
okay, that being okay. No, thank you, Honourable Modise. We wish you a speedy recovery. We know that you are not feeling very well right now, but you have our full support, and we wish you that you could recuperate as soon as possible. You can count on us for support. Honourable members, having said that, I think that brings our meeting to an end, and I therefore declare this meeting adjourned. Thank you very much, members.
Thanks very much.